Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, you'll see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it is my pleasure to welcome Karen Noe. After best-selling Wayne Dyer left the physical plane in 2015, Karen has consistently been receiving very profound and specific messages from him, for his family, and for the world as well. While Wayne comes through singularly for his family, he also comes through together with a group of other celestial beings called the We Guides that include St. Francis of Assisi and a countless number of angels and ascended masters. Karen is a renowned New Jersey-based psychic medium, spiritual counselor, and healer with a 2-year waiting list. She is an author of 3 books, We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace, Your Life After Their Death, A Medium's Guide to Healing After a Loss, and Through the Eyes of Another, A Medium's Guide to Creating Heaven on Earth by Encountering Your Life, Review Now. She is founder of the Angel Quest Center in Waldwick, New Jersey, where she teaches classes, gives readings, and practices alternative healing. You can listen to Karen on the Angel Quest radio show, and I'm going to give you that information as well as her website, so get out your pens and pieces of paper. The Angel Quest radio show is at www.hudsonriverradio.com. That's H-U-D-S-O-N, riverradio.com. And her website is also on the World Wide Web. Her last name is spelled N-O-E. It's www.karennoe.com. And so let me welcome Karen. Such a pleasure to have you, Karen. Once again, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure. And thanks to Jackie Lappin, who she's your publicist, no?
Yes, that's correct.
I meant to say yes, not no. Jackie is wonderful. She refers all kinds of wonderful guests to my show, and I've had several of them on. But I certainly was intrigued by you and your story and your calling. And I'd like to talk about a little bit of that now. Would you start out by just telling us a brief biography of how your gifts began and what's happened since then?
Oh, sure. Okay, when I was younger, people always ask me if I've always been psychic. The answer is yes, but not to the extent that I am now. When I was younger, my father used to take me to the racetrack. And I'd pick the winning horses for him, and now I'm an animal activist. I don't go to the track anymore. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I just
wanted
to make sure you're there. Yes.
Yeah, we
got disconnected. So what happened was after that, you know, my friends used to know things that would happen before they did, and they'd say I freaked them out. That's what they used to say to me. And then about 25 years ago, I was going through a difficult time in my life, and I just sat at the edge of my bed, and I yelled at God, and I said, am I going to be okay? And with that, I saw a light that came towards me from the other side of the room. And my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said that, the more it kept coming towards me and eventually enveloped me. And at that time, I heard an audible voice that said, Lucha Lucina, Bella Lucha Lucina. For those Italian listeners, they know what that means. It means light, little light, beautiful little light. And I have since learned through meditation and subsequent messages that it was St. Francis of Assisi who's been guiding me and protecting me ever since. And for those who have been following me on Facebook or in any of my books, you'll see my St. Francis connection with the, I always talk about peace and the animals and all sorts of things like that. But right after that, I started receiving messages from the angels and deceased loved ones, reluctantly. I didn't want to do it at first, but I eventually gave in and started off in the back of a hair salon doing Reiki healing on people. And as I was doing the healing, messages would come through. Eventually, you know, they told a few people and they told a few people. Eventually, I was booked years ahead of time. And now I'm not even taking new clients because I'm booked for a couple of years and the people who come to see me want to come back. But it's been a wild ride. And then it brings me to the Wayne Dyer story. I didn't know if you wanted me to get to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And callers, just to let callers know, this is mostly going to be a dialogue show. We will take calls on the last 20 minutes. And we welcome any questions that you may have for Karen, just due to what she wants to accomplish tonight. She will not be giving readings. So I wanted to let you know that. But I hope you'll stay tuned to the show because she's got an absolutely marvelous background and I'm sure that you'll gain a lot of insight from our discussion tonight. So I wanted to put that out there up front. So go ahead with the story, Karen, please.
Okay, sure. So I was a huge Wayne Dyer fan and I didn't know him personally. You know, I went to his lectures, read his books, and that was about it. But when I found out he passed away, I was devastated. I felt that the world wasn't going to be the same again. You know, little did I should have known he was loud in life. He's even louder now that he made his transition, you know. But I knew I had to do something for the Dyer family. Now, I had Serena Dyer on my radio show about 3 months before Wayne passed to promote her book, Don't Die With Your Music Still In You. So I had her contact information, so I emailed her after her dad passed, and I said, Serena, I'm so sorry to hear about your dad. Make sure to ask him to give you a sign to let you know he's with you. And I told her, make sure to ask him to come to her in a dream and to wake her up after the dream so she remembers it. And I just went on, and finally I said, you know, Serena, I have a book. It's called Your Life After Their Death. And it pretty much tells you how to connect with your dad yourself, how to raise your vibration so it's more on par with the energy of who he is. And there's healing techniques in there so that you could heal after his passing so you'll feel better. So immediately after I sent that, I received an email back from her. She said she would love a copy of my book. So I sent her the book. So 3 days later, I was scheduled to speak at an event for my publisher Hay House in Orlando, Florida. And so a day before I was scheduled to speak, they were doing an event for Wayne, you know, in tribute to him. It was just shortly after his passing. So I hope you're following this so far. It's kind of a long story, but I want to make sure you're still with me.
I am, absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay, so so we went to the event, and there was a bus with the Hay House authors, as well as Wayne Dyer's family on this bus. And I'm sitting on the bus, and there was one seat available on the whole bus, and it was next to me. And in walks Serena Dyer and sits down next to me. So you see how everything just fell right into place.
And oh, synchronicity, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So she sat down, and as soon as she sat down, I said, Serena, I'm so sorry about your dad. My name's Karen Noe. And she said, oh, Karen, I just got your book. And I said, oh, I hope it helps you immensely. At this particular time, I said to her, you know, Serena, have you received any signs from him? He's going to be giving you signs. It's just like all of us. We receive signs from our loved ones. They're trying to let us know that they're with us. You know, all of us. You don't have to be a medium for this. You know, all you have to do is say, give me a without a doubt sign, and then be patient and wait. So I said that to her, and she said, well, her sister Sage had a very profound dream that she dreamt of her dad, and she actually, when she hugged him in the dream, she said she felt his hairy arms. So I said, you know, she really felt him. So incredible. So I said to her, that's a true visitation, because there's two different types of dreams. One is a true visitation from your loved one, and that would feel great. You'd know that it's a real visitation. And the other type of dream would be a dream from your subconscious, that you're trying to resolve issues, and, you know, that kind of dream is not a real visitation. It's sometimes it doesn't feel good, but you have to know the difference between that. In any case, she was telling me about Sage's dream. That was it, you know, at that particular time. So we went to the event, and when the event was over, for whatever reason, inside of me, I said, you know, I don't feel significant enough to go on that bus. I just don't feel significant. I'm going to walk back to the hotel room, you know, because I had my favorite authors on that bus, as well as Wayne Dyer's children and, you know, all of that. So as I'm walking to the hotel room and I'm saying this to myself, I feel so insignificant. Mm. I felt him for the first time.
Oh.
And he said, get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. And I just stopped. And I said, Wayne, if it's really you, if it's you, you have to give me a sign to let me know it's you. So I continued to walk, and I said to him, how may I serve? Because he used to say, to tell the world, you know, if you say to the universe, how may I serve? The universe works in ways to serve you as well.
Yes.
So I said, how may I serve, right? And when I said that, he said, you're already serving. I said, fine. How may I serve more? So I went into, I kept walking, got to the hotel room. And when I got to the hotel room, there was something very itchy inside of my shirt. So I went to see what it was. And there was a sticker that had somehow attached to my shirt. And how I know it wasn't there before, on the bottom of the sticker, in little letters, it said Disney World. And I had not been to Disney. So I looked at the sticker, and in large letters were the letters W-E. I took that to mean Wayne, first letter, last letter of his name, because oftentimes when I receive messages, I get the first letter, last letter, or just the name itself. And then I shout him laugh, right? And he says, is that good enough? I said, that's amazing. That's wonderful. I started to cry and so forth. And that was it. Little did I know the W-E meant so much more than that, you know?
Mm. I want to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. When you start talking to him. Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. You just cut off for just a few seconds.
Yes. And that happened with you at one point, too. So I trust it's just a problem, a glitch in the studio. But what I was going to say is, at the moment you talked about asking him, how may I serve? And for several moments after that, I just had goosebump after goosebump after goosebump occurring.
Angel bumps, I call them.
Angel bumps. Oh, yeah, I like that much better. So anyhow, tell me about we.
So what happened with the we, let me just backtrack just a little bit to get to that point.
Sure.
Through synchronistic events, I went back to New Jersey. The one who had the dream, Sage, that's his youngest daughter, contacted me about the dream. And we were going back and forth. Eventually, her and two of her sisters and her mom, her sisters Sky, Serena, Sage, and Marceline is his wife, they flew in from Florida to New Jersey to book an appointment with me, because he started to come through on the phone with me when I was speaking to Sage. So I said, if you want to come, you know, I'll move my appointments around to get you in. Okay, so we're getting almost to the point. So meanwhile, I said to him when we booked the appointment, Wayne, you got me in. You better come through when they come in. They're all flying in. You know, I've been doing this for many years, but I never did an appointment for Wayne Dyer's family. So I started to yell at Wayne. I said, you better come through, you know. And so I went out to walk my dog. Now, there was about a month and a half before they were scheduled to come in. So I went out to go for a walk with my dog. And as I'm walking, I said, you better come through. And this is all in my mind. I'm not saying it out loud because I was outside. And as I'm saying it, he started to come through. And he was so excited to talk about the afterlife. And he was so excited to talk about the we consciousness, W-E. Oh. That's what was on the sticker. The we consciousness is the interconnectivity of everyone and everything. And what one does to oneself or another, how it affects the whole. Now, you see, we are all connected to one another, but we don't feel that because we're separated by bodies. But after you leave your physical body, you're able to feel that connection. And he was telling me that it's so crucial at this particular time on Earth to talk about the we consciousness and understand that, you know, we have to spread the love and compassion and raise the vibration of the planet so that peace can become a reality, you know. Mm. And, I mean, I could go on and on about the messages he gave his children or the messages he gave to the world, but, it was just... for 3 years, he kept coming through for his children and for his wife and for the world as well. I could go on and on. I don't know how much you want me to talk about that.
Well, let me ask you a few questions, if I may.
Sure.
First of all, the we consciousness, does that connect us with all souls living or celestial beings, whatever forms of consciousness exist in the universes, or does it refer to more than that?
It's everything. You know what it encompasses? That's actually concept one of the we consciousness, because they gave me, they are the we guys, and I'll explain who they are in a minute. Concept one is the most important truth is that we are one. Our oneness encompasses everything and everyone, including God, the angels, ascended masters, enlightened beings from other areas in the universe, deceased loved ones, animals, and nature.
So we're
all connected. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was hoping was the answer.
It is.
When you ask for a sign, I'm just going back for a minute, then let's come back to the we consciousness. But when you ask for a sign, should you be specific or how should you go about doing that?
All you have to do is ask them to give you a sign, and then they'll give you the type of sign that they know best. Like, in other words, if you had an uncle that collected coins, chances are that type of sign will be pennies or quarters or something like that, you know, and so forth. So you don't really ask them what type of sign. You kind of let it be open to whatever they wish to give you. And trust me, you will know when the sign comes, because it'll be something that normally doesn't happen, such as a bird lands on you, or you see 1,000 ladybugs, or a car cuts you off and it's your loved one's name. You'll smell the perfume for no reason, or the clock. You keep looking at the clock and it's the same number all the time, or something like that.
I've had that happen to me in very profound ways, and I'm not going to go into that because I want to hear more about the weak consciousness. The other question I had is, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you were talking about the visitations, were those both in the dream state, or were there also conscious awake visitations?
When Wayne came?
No, I think you were talking in general terms about visitations, and maybe I'm off base. I was just jotting it down, so I don't know if you could latch on to my question.
Sure. I think you can receive messages when you're asleep, when you're in the altered state of consciousness, meditating, or even in your awake state. But the most people say they're not able to feel their loved ones, and I'll tell them, yes, they're able to. They don't realize how their loved ones are speaking to them. Most people expect to hear a voice or to see an apparition of their loved one. But in reality, their loved one is not in a physical body. So they'll speak to you probably telepathically as thoughts that just pop in your head for no reason. They'll come and give you signs, or they'll come to you in a dream, you know, and so forth. So you just have to understand and pick up on the signs do come to you.
how can we tell that we're not just placing those thoughts in our head as opposed to the telepathic communication you refer to?
That's a very good question. And what happens is you have to tell the difference between your thoughts and theirs, because your chances are that you're thinking about them anyway. So what you're going to do is backtrack your thoughts when you're thinking about your loved one, the first originating thought. If something triggered a thought, such as you saw a picture of your loved one that triggered a thought, so forth, that's you. But if a thought just pops in your head for no reason, something they would have said or done for no logical reason, chances are that it's your loved one speaking to you directly, or if it comes to you in third person. For example, when my mom passed, you know, I started to hear. When I say hear, it wasn't an audible voice, but hi, sweetheart, as a thought. I don't call myself sweetheart. She called me sweetheart, right? So you have to, if I didn't know that, I would have just thought, why am I thinking that? See, but most people don't realize that. So I want everyone to understand, you know, next time you're thinking about your loved one, backtrack your thoughts and see if there was an originating thought or not.
What about having a dialogue with a deceased loved one?
Absolutely can. You could speak to them. They can hear what you're saying and you're not bothering them. Most people ask me, oh, am I bothering them? I say, if it was reversed and they were here and you were there and you wanted to tell them you were okay, wouldn't you? And everybody says yes. So you talk to them and they will answer you and they'll come to you maybe as thoughts. Or if you can't hear the thoughts, you just can't get that, say, give me a sign. And again, here's the sign. But the thing is, you have to be patient and wait.
Yes.
And the sign will come when you least expect it. It won't come immediately. It may. You know, chances are it could. But chances are you'll have to wait a little bit. And then you'll say, wow, that was worth it. You'll know what I'm talking about. But ask. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose.
I hear you. I've heard other mediums say, reiterate that point of being patient. Because Our souls, when they pass, are busy doing things on the other side, and they may not always be available to speak with us at that point in time.
That's right. It's just like when they were here in the physical plane, they were just not always immediately, you know, there. They had to do things, but
Well, what else would you like to say about the we consciousness, since I digressed?
Sure. So that first year after connecting with his family, and they were very profound messages, and I know for a fact that he did that, so we knew for sure that it was indeed Wayne Dyer, and, you know, we wanted to make sure about that. I mean, he said things, we could go into that too, that, you know, some of them were so personal that no one would have known, and they did share what they did wish to share at the back of the book, you know, in the appendix of the book. But that first year after I connected with his family, it was New Year's Eve, and I was trying to stay awake for midnight, but I just keep my eyes open anymore. It was about 8 p.m., and I decided to lie down and maybe take a nap just so I would be awake for, you know, midnight. And when I was at that relaxed state, I wasn't quite asleep. I felt Wayne, and this time he was coming directly to me. And he said, now's the time. Yeah. He said, now's the time to do what you came on earth to do. And I immediately knew what that was. That was to promote peace on this planet. I've always felt compelled to do that. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, what am I supposed to do? And he said, you have been talking to and been connecting to a group consciousness called the We Guides your whole life, but you're not aware. You weren't aware that you were doing so. And I said, what are the We Guides? He said, it's a group consciousness that includes St. Francis of Assisi, as well as other ascended masters and angels. And he was going to be joining forces with the We Guides. And when he came through as this group consciousness, it would be hard to differentiate him from everyone else. You know, he would still become singularly for his family. But when he came through with the group consciousness, it would be a higher vibration, if that makes sense, of not just his energy, but group consciousness.
Yes.
And they were going to be giving me 33 concepts for inner and outer peace. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's beautiful. Am I going to be channeling you for the book? And he said, yes and no. I said, I don't know what that means. And he said, So he said, again, I'd have all the information about the peace and all of that, but they would be coming through as the we guys. But he was going to be giving me, I said, certainly you have to give me something. People want to know and hear about you, you know, questions and answers. And he said, sure. And he gave me a chapter on that. And I, you know, I asked him questions and he answered them.
Cool.
But it's been, and you know, his family, what he's been giving to them, it's been incredible. You know, for example, at the moment that his daughter was giving birth, ready to give birth, I wouldn't have known that. I'm sitting there cooking, and he's telling me to call Serena now, call Serena now. So I'm calling her. She's not answering the phone, so I call her other sister, Sage. I said, Sage, what's going on? There's something going on with Serena. And she goes, uh-huh, she's ready to push. I said, okay, your dad is saying, are you? She was in the room with her. I said, your dad is saying, put the phone by her ear. And Wayne said, Daddy's there. Daddy's there. So these are the types of things. I mean, these were so, and it's been, it was consistent. I mean, I'll give you one more. I mean, it was just remarkable how he did these things. Okay. The one time I went to the bank, I was at work and I came back and on my computer screen was an email that his son's name is Sands. And Sands and I had contacted each other about a year, maybe 3-4 months before. It wasn't a year. It was about 3 or 4 months before that. But it just appeared on my screen 4 months later. And I'm saying,
wow.
What the heck? Why did this? I said, I guess he wants me to contact Sands. So I text Sands and I said, you know, I said, Sands, what's going on? Your dad's email, your email just appeared on my screen. I think your dad wants us to connect. And he immediately responded. He said, Karen, I just asked my dad for a sign. He said he asked his dad. He was actually sitting on a plane going from Florida to Maui. He was moving to Maui, and he wanted to know if it was a good move and to give him a sign. And then his dad did this on the screen. And as I called him, his dad said, yes, it's a wonderful thing. And he moved to Maui. So on demand. Wayne did that. So it's been it's been crazy. Yeah. But you know what?
That's
the best part.
Yeah.
He's been coming through not just to me. And this is what I really want to tell everybody. It's not just to Karen Noe. Whoever wishes to connect to him, all you need to do is ask him to come to you, either in a dream, ask him to give you a sign, you know, to speak to you telepathically or whatever, and he will be there for you. You just have to be more on par with the energy of who he is. You have to raise your vibration a little bit so you'll be able to hear him.
Okay. Well, that I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I have a question connected to something that he'd said to you, and that is, are we really going to be able to experience world peace in our lifetime? Did he address that by any chance?
Oh, yes. He says, first of all, world peace begins with inner peace.
Yes.
And since we're all connected to each other, it begins within ourselves. We have to practice self-love. And that's when he started to talk to me and he said, get out of my own way, because how could I serve anybody if I don't love myself? I was saying I was not significant enough. We all have to do that. We all have to treat ourselves with the respect that we deserve and so forth, because in doing so, you're actually doing it to the whole. He says that we all have to, the way the world will see peace is if we raise the vibration. It doesn't matter who's in power, because we are in power. We have love, and, you know, if we just raise the energy of the planet and see through the eyes of each person in our path and spread the love and the peace and try to focus on what you want instead of what you don't want, focus on the solutions instead of the problems, that's how it comes about. Right? This is what we need to do, is shift focus.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that response. And I also was intrigued by the number 33, because to me, that speaks of the Christ consciousness.
Yes.
Did it just come out to be 33 concepts, and you counted, and there were 33?
No, they said they were going to give me 33, and I said, why?
Okay.
You know? And so what they said was, when I say they, it's the we guys, they said 33 symbolizes divine guidance and the spiritual uplifting of all of creation. So it was a reason for that number.
Okay. Thank you. Can you share a few of those concepts?
Sure. Let's see. Well, here's one. Number 10, it's kind of what I was just saying. It's imperative to focus on what is right in the world instead of what is wrong. You know, we have to see the glass half full. There's so many black things around us. You know, we just have to focus on that. If we're posting, for example, on Facebook or whatever, social media, try not to focus on all the bad things, because there's so many people helping other people. You know, the more you spread the light, the more the light continues. You turn on the light, the darkness goes away. You know, we have to remember that. Let's see. How about this one? Number 21. Okay, how you feel about whatever you're observing creates circumstances in your life that will generate similar types of feelings within you. Therefore, in order to maintain inner peace, you must make a conscious effort to focus on the positive. Again, it's the same thing. And disconnect from whatever is creating bad inner feelings. Pretty much is the same thing. To focus on the light, spread the light, and so forth. It all talks about forgiveness, most of these concepts. Talking about you can't change others, but you could change your perception of them. You know? So we have to remember that. We want to change other people, but you really can't do that.
Well, perfect. You know, I have a psychic friend, and this is just a little response to the glass being half full. And that her question to her guide was, is the glass half full? And the guide said, well, can you see it some other way? And she said, overflowing. And the guide said, aren't you still limiting yourself? Can't you make the vessel bigger? So I thought that was very interesting, expansive.
I like that
concept related to the glass being half full, because I always thought that was
that.
Being an optimist, isn't it? Isn't
that
great?
That's great. That's perfect. Even why is there a glass at all?
Well, this is a question that this person wanted me to ask you. Her name's Mary Blake, and she's done a lot of wonderful work over the years, and she's in her 80s now. But she wondered how you ever managed to garnish a 2-year waiting list.
Very quickly, actually. It was very quickly, actually, because what happened was, let me give you an example, one of my first readings, and then they told a few people, and then they told a few people. I was very reluctant to do readings in the beginning. I didn't want for people to think I was not in my right mind. I wasn't sure, am I really doing this, and so forth. But, for example, I started to do Reiki energy healing, and as I was doing that, people would come through. One of my first readings, there was a gentleman, I believe his name was Robert. He was trying to come through. He said he died in a car accident. But he showed me a visual of a kangaroo with boxing gloves on, punching the air. Now, here I am. I'm just beginning to do this. And I'm saying that can't possibly mean anything. That is just crazy. I'm not going to tell her that. And he just kept showing this visual of a kangaroo with boxing gloves on. So finally I gave in. I said, I don't know if this means anything, but there's somebody here named Robert. You know, he said he died in a car accident, and he's showing me a kangaroo with boxing gloves. And she jumped off the table, and she said, that's my friend Robert. He did die in a car accident, but he boxed kangaroos in Australia. So that's the type of message, you know, when they come through, it's very specific that they know. There's no way I would have known that. You know what I mean? So when I say, when you go to a medium or a psychic, first of all, let's backtrack. Best case scenario is to do this yourself, and I'll tell you how to do this yourself, because I'd rather you receive the messages yourself. But if you do go to a medium, you need some, you know, not just somebody loves you, you know, your great aunt is here, you know, something that only they would know and you would know, you know, maybe their name, even just their name or something like that. But I think I know my reason for being here on the planet is a couple of reasons: to spread peace, but also to empower people to do this themselves. Because I know everybody, just as everybody could play the piano, if they have hands, that's the only exception. They could all play either scales or great masterpieces. Everybody could receive messages as well. You just have to realize how they come. You know, as I said before, they don't necessarily come as an audible voice or as an apparition. You could ask them to come to you in a dream, but when you ask them to come to you in a dream, tell them to wake you up so you remember it, or else you won't. You know, just simple things like that. So, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I have one more question, and then I would like to go to the phone lines.
Sure.
We do have a number of callers, and unfortunately, callers, I'm not going to be able to get to all of you, but I appreciate you hanging in there and listening. It's been a wonderful show, and I just wanted to ask you a little bit more about celestial beings. You've talked about how we're connected with every aspect of creation, but what are the different types of celestial beings there are?
Sure. Well, it begins with God. There are angels. And now the angels could be divided into many different levels, but we all have guardian angels that are just our angels. And then there are archangels that could be in more than one place at one time. And you could call upon an archangel and you won't take them away from somebody who needs them more than you do. There are ascended masters. There are enlightened beings from other areas of the universe as well. You know, it's not just planet Earth.
Right.
And then there are deceased loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, we're all one, which is pretty cool. It's difficult to understand because we're, again, in a physical body. But when we leave, and that's why Wayne was so excited after he left, he said, oh, like the we consciousness, we're all connected. You know, he was so excited about that. So when you actually are talking to your angels, you're actually talking to your higher self. You've heard that you're talking to your higher self. That's exactly right.
Perfect. Well, thank you for that. How does someone become an ascended master? Just curious.
Oh, well, they transcend many things. They, for the most part, they create miracles on, you know, with demand. They're able to focus on the present moment. Most of us can't do that. I can't do that. It's unconditional love, regardless, and so forth. So, yeah. So I think Francis of Assisi would be one, et cetera.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Let's go to the phone lines. I've only talked to one of you, and that's Sharon. I'm coming to you first, and we may have Sharon's grandson in the background. I don't know. He's a three-year-old. He said, beware. Okay, Sharon, you're live.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Karen?
Hi, Sharon.
Yes, I do. I lost someone very dear to me. I mean, it's one of the greatest losses anyone could ever experience. And I just liked hearing how you said that what you've got, information you've gotten, that we're all connected. And I know that I had a few dreams, and one dream was, a bunch of black women were, I'm white, and a bunch of black women were surrounding me, and they were middle-aged and older, and we were sitting, and they were massaging my back, and some of them were standing behind me, and we were sitting like a place that was, you know, regular room, like a furniture, you know, living room kind of thing. And I just always remember that, and I've had other dreams, and I think what I'm feeling, and I've heard this before, that we're connected, we're all connected, and you were saying that too.
Absolutely.
I think what I'm feeling is just being reminded about what's important, what's truly important. And sometimes it's really hard when all the externals are sometimes taking place. You know, other people saying or doing things. And then taking a reaction to it. And the message I'm getting for myself is to stay tuned for me, the reality of, someone was saying the other day that Anne Lamott, a recognized writer, had said, you know, we all have a certain amount of time to live on this planet. Let's make the most of it. Because sometimes when we lose someone, like I'm sure Wayne Dyer's family felt a great deal of loss, you know, you try to make sense of,
yeah.
you know, trying to put one foot in front of the other kind of thing.
That's right.
So I don't know what Wayne Dwyer has said to you as far as reassuring his family members or reminding family members to keep going and be inspired to make the most of your life. But sometimes it's difficult. It's just difficult.
Of course. But, you know, this is, I've been doing practicing mediumship for many years. And it's not just what Wayne has said, but throughout the many thousands of readings that I've been doing, that the most common message is that they truly are okay and they want us to be okay too. You know, they don't want us to feel, to grieve and to be unhappy. But it's easier said than done when you are experiencing this grief, you know. So what you do is you fake it until you make it. First of all, you acknowledge the grief and don't try to stuff it down. Take as much time as you need to, you know, to experience that grief. But there is going to come a time, or every now and then, you want to be happy again, and it's okay. So just understand it's okay. They want you to feel good again.
And did you have, yeah, and I'm starting to feel that phase too, where I'm acknowledging that it's okay to give myself permission to feel that word happy. Did Wayne Dwyer give you messages for his family? Were any of them, I know they probably had a great understanding of the other side, and
mm-hmm.
maybe they didn't feel that deep personal bereft feeling of, you know, when they're when Wayne passed over, maybe the family members
mm-hmm.
were just deeply conscious of the other side. Did he have any messages for them to give them comfort?
Well, the most important, the greatest part about this is he was so loud with his messages. They knew without a doubt he was giving them signs all over the place. They knew he was there. But if I may, there's a little blurb I can read from the book when I asked him, what is it like in the afterlife?
Sure,
and he
said, please hear that. Sure.
Okay, this is what he said. He said, where I am now is not the afterlife, but the continuation of life. Without the restrictions of the physical body that bound me to the earth plane. One minute I was confined to a physical shell, the next I was free as I stepped into this pure state of infinite love. I'd yearned to reach this level of awareness for the last several years of my earthly existence, so I was surprised and delighted to achieve this goal in an instant. As I re-entered this familiar state of consciousness and arrived at my true place of origin, I was greeted by my loved ones, including my mother and, yes, my father, too, and glorious celestial beings eager to welcome me back home. I am elated that I can now be wherever I wish to be with a simple thought of a desired location anywhere in the universe. I am still aware and interested in what transpires on Earth, but I now comprehend that it is just a tiny speck in the totality of all of creation. And he went on to say, make sure to tell everyone that the same loving consciousness that you have called God really does exist. It is present within everything and everyone in the entire universe. The Spirit of God does not judge me or anyone else because it is all loving. On the other hand, I am now able to see how my actions, good and bad, have affected all those in my life, and I continue to grow and evolve. And then just a little bit more, he said, I'm also able to see through my loved one's eyes to understand why they behave in certain ways too, with
oh.
no judgment.
Oh.
See, you go through a life review.
Oh, okay.
Sharon,
and,
thank you for calling.
Yes, thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to move on to another caller. I'm glad you hung
thank
in
you.
There.
Thank
you.
Thank you. You're
okay.
very well.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless.
All right. I'm going to go to Eric. That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Karen.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm going to area code 775. What's your first name, please?
My name is Wendy from Sacramento.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi. So wonderful to speak to you, David, and your beautiful guest.
Hi, Wendy.
I'm so honored to meet you.
Thank you for calling in.
Do you have a question for...
Yes. I am 67. I'm trying
Wendy,
to hold
Wendy,
on...
Wendy,
yes.
I'm sorry, she's not doing readings. Do you have a question about anything we've discussed today?
When you pass over, is it comforting?
Oh, my gosh. In an instant, you feel that amazing. I don't know if you've ever read a book about near-death experiences. There are actually some people who have passed and then came back to life to talk about what they experienced. It's immediately you experience total peace and love, and you're greeted by your loved ones and your deceased pets as well. And everything in an instant, you realize how you have affected each person. In other words, just as Wayne was saying, you go through that life review, you know, so you could see that. And the reason why you're able to see through each person's eyes is because you are one with them and you could feel that connection with them. But immediately you feel that love. And some people don't even want to come back when they do experience a life near-death experience. They don't want to come back to the physical body, but they do. And they all say the same thing, that it's just a beautiful place. You know who suffers? The ones who are living. That's who we miss them dearly, but we will be joining them again many years from now, if that makes sense.
Sounds very, yes, it does. And it sounds very true. And do we have a choice as to whether or not we come back?
Yes, you absolutely have full choice whether or not you come back or not. And the only ones we've heard from, unless you're a psychic medium, the ones who've come back to talk about it, there's a wonderful book out. It's called Dying to Be Me. The author is Anita Moorjani. And she talks about she had the last stages of cancer, and she actually died. And when she passed away, she was able to see her father and her friend and all sorts. You know, she saw how she didn't treat herself with the respect that she deserves. But then she heard a voice saying it wasn't her time. Did she want to go back? And she said she did. She went back to her physical body. And she was cured of cancer within a short period of time. And she made it her life purpose to spread self-love, how it's important to treat ourselves with the respect that we deserve. So that's a great book. I would recommend it. Dying to Be Me, it's called.
I love the title.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Wendy, thank you for calling. I'm going to move on to try to get to as many people as I can in the 12 minutes that remain. God bless, and I hope things are working out for you.
Thank you very much.
Just to pick up on Wendy's question, I'm wondering if we have a choice as to whether or not we come back in another incarnation.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. People ask me that all the time. If we choose, you know, sometimes when you're on the other side, it's just all wonderful and everything. But if you choose, say in your previous life, you needed to learn compassion. You were not so compassionate. You will choose, okay, I'm going to come back to another life to learn that lesson. But when you come here, you forget all about it, you know.
Right.
But yes, we do have a choice. Yes, we do.
Beautiful. Okay, area code 212, you are live. What is your first name, please?
Hi, this is Bryn. Bryn calling.
Hello. Hi, Bryn. You have a question for Karen?
Yeah, no, yes, I just want to. Hi, Karen. I just want to thank you for your fascinating story. I was a big fan of Wayne Dyer. He did a lot of good works, I think, here on Earth. So he must be doing even much more now. You know.
Yes.
On the other side. I mean, he did a heaven's work. He did a. I think he did a heaven's share of work when he was alive here. So I guess he's doing even more back over there because, like he said, he doesn't have the limitations of physicality to linear time too.
Yes,
you know that's another handicap that we buy into is our linear time. So it's like, I guess over there, everything is timeless. It's like there's no past, present, or future. It's all one, like everything else is one, you know?
As a matter of fact, that's concept 30. Past, present,
okay.
And future. Yeah, past, present, and future are all now. Time is an illusion. So, that's right.
And isn't that interesting? Like, when you think about it, here we are on this earth, and we're kind of confined to the concept of a schedule or a date, or 365 days of a year, or it's 12 noon, and that kind of thing. So it's all kind of segmented and separated. While there, it's just a stream of oneness that has no backwards and forwards. It just is forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it's difficult to understand when we're here in a physical body, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So
but,
it's fascinating. So thank you. And I do some mediumship work myself and readings, and I, you know, now and again I call in the program for readings, and I just am fascinated with mediumship and the way I can connect with others when my antennas are out.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Bren. God bless.
Thank you. Yeah,
if I may,
to you. Thank you.
Ed, just something very quickly about time being an illusion.
Yeah.
When I said to Wayne, I don't understand it. I know that's the fact, but I just don't get it. I just can't. And he was showing me, you know, a ruler. Now imagine you're looking at a ruler, right? When you're on the ruler itself, you can just see, like, say, the 3-inch mark. But when you step above it, you could see the whole ruler all at once.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Interesting.
And I get it a little bit more, but it's still a little bit difficult for me to understand.
No, I can understand.
But,
it's like we're like stationed on the ruler. If we could look above it, it would all be the same.
Exactly.
Because there's no just one little segment. Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you make a metaphor to it being like watching a movie?
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
it's an elusive concept, but it is sure real when you get down to the present moment and just experience the joy and peace that is all of ours for the asking. It's a wonderful place to stay in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bren.
So, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, we'll take two more calls. Area code 808, you're live. What is your name, please?
Hello, this is Bhavana.
Hi, Bhavana.
Hello, thank you for the topics you presented. I saw Wayne Dyer about a year and a half before he passed, and at a Hay House conference, and he gave wonderful speech, and of course he talked for hours. And what I loved about him was his humanness. He didn't just say, I'm perfect, and through his perfect imperfectionism was what made him a guiding light for many, and that's just how I see it. And I wanted to just comment on mediumship. I do some too. It didn't occur that I would be a medium, but I remember early on in my younger years that someone would pass away and of a loved one, and she would appear to me right away in the most beautiful colors I had never seen on earth, surrounding them and how happy they were. And I wish more people can have the message, the human existence and body deals with grief. But there, that beautiful place, there's no permeability needed. It's all just another dimension, and it all has to do with love. So I wanted to comment that.
Absolutely,
and, thank you again thank you. And also, question for you is not so much related to Wayne, but in your own work, since you do so many readings and you're booked out a few years, what is your practice for clearing yourself and having like balance in your work, and then there's your personal life? So if you could just speak to that, going into so many people's energy and auras and getting the readings and how do you keep clear? Thank you.
Okay, that's a beautiful question and very important too. I meditate every morning. It's just that praying is talking to God and the angels, but you need to listen as well, and meditating is listening. But I do energy techniques. One is called the Celtic Weave. These are all taken from the book from Donna Eden. It's called the Energy Medicine. And the Celtic Weave, it's hard to talk about on the phone, but it's kind of weaving your aura so that negativity can't penetrate my aura, if that makes sense. And there's other energy techniques. I talk about these in my books, but releasing the venom and so forth. But for the most part, believe it or not, the people who come to me are are pretty much of the light, because it's the same, you know, you attract what you are, right? So whatever you're thinking and feeling, you're attracting in your life. So for the most part, I'm pretty good at night. Sometimes I'm tired. It doesn't wear me out. You know, people say, does it take away from your energy? No. But what takes away from my energy is if I'm going to a crowded place, the mall or Manhattan and so forth. So I do these techniques, the Celtic weave and so forth, and it really does help.
Well, thank you for answering the question.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, Bhavana.
You're welcome.
God bless. I had said we'd take one more call, but we are running out of time, and I wanted to give Karen a chance to close if there are any parting words that she has for us. So, Karen, I turn it over to you.
Okay, I want to tell people that we could create heaven right here on Earth. We don't have to wait till we pass. As I was stating before, we do go through a life review where we're able to see how we've affected each person through their eyes. So why do we have to wait until then? Why don't we do it now and try to see through each person's eyes why they do what they do and how we're affecting them now? Tell them all how much we love them right now before it's too late and don't have any regrets. Treat ourselves with the respect that we deserve as well, because we're just as important as everyone else. And in so doing, we could create peace within ourselves and peace in the world around us and in the world as well.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And also, I will be doing a seminar with the Dyer Daughters in Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, and that's in October. So, you know, if anybody could join us, it's going to be a wonderful one. We just spoke in Virginia Beach, and they're great. They're just like their dad. They're very powerful speakers. And also, I'm going to be doing a Global Oneness Day on October 24th with Humanities Team. If you look on Facebook, you could find more information about that, Global Oneness Day.
Perfect.
So
now, if people want to find out about Omega, is there a website?
Yes.
Do you know what their website is?
You know what they could do is, if I don't know their website, but if you go to my website, KarenNoe.com, Karen, NOE.com, and then click on events, and then it goes right to their website where you could to join us. It's just going to be, we had such a wonderful time. It was last weekend, so we're going to do it again. So you loved Wayne. His daughter is exactly the same. You wouldn't expect anything less. Yeah, they are great.
I love Wayne Dyer. You know, I haven't read all of his books, but the last one I read really spoke to me as a former addict. It was Excuses No More.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was a good book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Erroneous Zones.
Yeah.
Have I got that right?
Yeah,
that
was
his
first one.
Yeah, yeah. He was a remarkable, remarkable human being and somebody that we can all, aspire to be like. And of course, there's no limit to what we can achieve. You know,
exactly.
If we get to know ourselves and align ourselves with our higher self, the sky is the limit. It's not even.
We have to remember who we are. That's it.
Yes.
We have to remember the God within us, right?
That's right. That's right. And it's a real journey. And I don't know how you feel about this, but it's my tenet that if I continue to follow my joy and I value and protect my serenity, my life just unfolds in the most beautiful ways.
Absolutely. Perfectly said.
Well, I don't know if everybody got to hear the electronic lady, but it's time to close. And Karen, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Okay. So once again, we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual separation, except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience. let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless. Good night, Karen.
Good night. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, hon.